Disturbing interests may contain graphic and disturbing subject matter. This is a horror true crime comedy podcast, and the topics may depict murder, abuse, the supernatural, strange moments in history, and things that should never be done with food. All jokes are made with the utmost respect to those involved, and listener discretion is advised.
If you enjoy listening to Disturbing Interests, then we ask that you please rate us on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen on. And remember to tell a friend, an enemy, a coworker, a rival gang member, your parole officer, or just about anybody. Just run down the street shouting about it. That would be great, too. Because with us, you might be disturbed, but you aren't alone.
Welcome back to Disturbing Interest, everybody. I am Regina King, your evil queen, and sitting next to me is my ever-beautiful partner.
Hi, I'm Lynn, the Docent of Darkness.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm not in a cult, so I'm real good.
Right? Like, that is the ultimate goal these days.
Don't join a cult.
Don't join a cult. Don't hurt people. Don't be a dick. Like, don't be a dick.
Yeah, just definitely do not start your own freaky sex cult just to be awful.
Yeah. And why are we talking about cults today?
Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's us, and why
it
not?
Seems that seems like one of the less gross things we could be talking about. But as we delved in, we discovered that was not the case at all.
Oh, God, no. So today we are going to talk about NXIVM. But first, we have a very exciting kind of announcement. We have our first piece of fan art, which you can check out on our Instagram page, which is...
Every time. I'm like, oh God, I have to, it's DI Podcast.
At DI Podcast on Instagram. That's where you can find it. It's this awesome piece of art based off of our Beziosaur conversation.
Yes, so this is a coworker of mine at Pike Place Market, and her name is Rosie, and she makes really awesome illustrations, and she does all kinds of cool stuff like stickers and prints and things like that, and uses, I think mostly like pen and ink and watercolor. And they're really charming and lovely. She does a lot of corgis and a lot of marine mammals and just kind of cute, interesting stuff. And they're really well done. But apparently she listened to our Beziosaur episode, the one on the Loch Ness Monster. And there was just some throwaway line about Beziosaurs. And she just ran with it and made this adorable little illustration of Beziosaurs. So half bee, half plesiosaur.
It's amazing. It is so awesome. So, Rosie, thank you so much.
And if you want to check out Rosie's work, which I highly recommend that you do, especially if you're a fan of corgis and other cute things, her Instagram is a great place for it, and it's at Rosie Fern, or online, it's just rosiefern.com, and it's R-O-S-I-E-F-E-R-N-E. So you gotta add that E on the end, like Rosie Fernet, like she's Fernet Branca, but not so bitter. But yes, so you should definitely check out her lovely Instagram and all of that sort of stuff, and drink some Fernet Branca while you're enjoying it. Pretend you're Michael Caine.
Don't be bitter. But yeah, so Rosie, thank you so much. If anyone else has any fan art based on some random bullshit we say on this show, oh, that's a hedgehog.
I love that the dog just perfectly adds random sound effects.
Hey, don't make me take your hedgehog away.
Disturbing Interests. The podcast, the little podcast that needs an editor.
That's right. Disturbing Interest, a little podcast that needs to take the fucking hedgehog away from the dog. I feel so bad, though. I've given him a complex, guys. So we're going to let him keep the hedgehog for a minute, but if we continue to have squeaking, it will have to be taken away.
It's like he planned it.
I will take it away. I'll take it away. So, anyway, thank you so much, Rosie. Again, like I was saying, if anyone else would like to send us your fan art, us being artists, we really enjoy other people's art. Please feel free to email us at disturbinginterest@gmail.com, or you can always send it to our P.O. box, which is going to be up at the end of the episode, like it always is. So, or you can, like, DM us. That works.
Yeah,
at our
works
Twitter,
too.
Instagram,
Facebook,
all of our
all
Facebook.
Of that.
Awesome. That is just so awesome. Our first real piece of fan art. And it's going to go up here in the Potifice, as we like
to call
it.
Yeah, we're going to get like a frame and everything for it.
Right? Right.
It's going to hang up there with Batman.
Hey, that's something. Anyway, so We are doing Nexium today. This is actually a two-parter again.
Cult-O-Rama!
Cult-O-Rama. Yeah, because we started doing our research on our respective cults and realized, oh my god, this is a lot of shit.
Yeah, there's a horrible cult rabbit hole that you can just fall down.
There's such a cult rabbit hole out there that you can fall down that I actually ended up doing research on four different cults, and some of them were so horrible. Guys, there's something out there that is so goddamn horrible, I can't even do it as a topic. Like,
you were fine with the guy that ate a baby, but you're like, can't touch this cult, no.
Right? How much does that say? Like, it was full body dry heaving for days in a row, the more and more and more I learned about the Children of God. And this is the cult that a couple of my friends were in and tried to... They didn't try to rope me in, but the cult itself tried to rope me in when I was a very young teenager.
Well, so I think for me, this was particularly icky because you know, a lot of our stories tend to be historic things from the way, way past, and they have this gloss of weirdness on it. But I think doing things that are so, I don't know, in a way mundane, or that are kind of happening today or in the moment, or you can imagine yourself getting involved in them, or people you know kind of being near to them, it really gives it this frisson of just, ew. And you know more about it, and more about it is really recorded. You could absolutely say this, that, or the other thing happened. And it's something that you live with or grow up with every day versus looking into things like, you know, necropants or Tararé or any of this bizarre stuff that we've looked up.
Wait a
That's
minute.
Legendary.
You don't live with necropants every day?
I mean, I do.
Yes.
Okay, I wear the jeggings of a dead man constantly.
All the time. Jeggings of the damned. All the time.
Yeah. All day, every day. I was thinking for summer, I might go with the culottes of the damned, you know? Maybe somebody who's got really short, thick legs, just kind of get that going for me.
Can somebody, like, please, maybe a really, really large person would like to donate their skin for me so I can have, like, the palazzo pants of the damned.
Oh, yeah, someone with really mighty thews, like, mm-hmm. that's just been doing a lot of squats.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Anyway, so I'm going to do a little intro for us, but mainly Lynn is going to handle the meat of this section because she's doing Nexium, which has been in the news lately, we've heard a lot of. And then in our next episode, I'm going to do the FLDS, the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, not to be confused with Mormons. They are not Mormons.
They're so. Mormon adjacent?
Yes. Yes. And
the F stands for fucked up Latter-day Saints. Not actual Latter-day Saints, but the fucked up ones.
It could.
Although, I'm
it
sorry,
could.
Any religion that's like, you can't have, you have to have decaf, I'm like, that might be a cult. Yeah. I'm just saying. Sorry, Mormons, but I'm a little worried about you. Caffeine saves.
Caffeine does save. It saves lives every day. When I have caffeine, it saves other people's lives.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. As we were saying, holy hell, we finally found a topic that makes me uncomfortable beyond all belief. And I realized as I was doing the research for the last cult that I researched, which, holy shit, I've learned a lot about a lot of fucked up cults the past couple of weeks.
Like, planning on your own. Like, you've done so much research, you're like, I'm going to start my own.
No, but I realized that I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Yeah. See, you could be my first convert.
But with
you
great
believe
power
in me.
Comes great responsibility.
And I, no, I have
could
too
it be
much
a
responsibility.
Nap cult, where that mainly our cult is about taking lots of naps.
Oh, I like that
a
one.
A nap cult.
Yeah.
I would absolutely endorse a nap cult. Any of the rest of the shit we're going to talk about, hell no. Don't do it. Don't participate. Don't start it. But a nap cult, hell yeah.
I'm in for that. And we did talk about maybe a puppy cult, but I think PETA has that cornered.
Oh, yeah. No, Yeah. So this would just involve frolicking with puppies, petting puppies. We'd allow kittens as well.
Yes, yeah. Kittens for the win.
Kevin!
The cult of Kevin.
Kevin is an enigmatic leader who is rarely seen.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Kevin does not have anyone's best interest at heart except his own.
Yes, yes.
And Kevin is very charismatic and quite soft.
And very lovely, yes.
So, I mean, there you go. Maybe you start the cult of Kevin.
I could. I really could. He would be the perfect messiah in a way because He hates everybody except for himself. He's totally self-serving. And he already has one very deeply devoted follower who loves him to pieces, even though he will never return my love.
Well, and then he also has an inner circle type servant who does whatever he wants and makes sure his basic needs are met so that he can wander around kind of spreading his own gospel.
See, which in his case is poop, but yes. Yeah. Yes, all we need to do is get him, like, a little circle of young female rats Rodents. For him to, you know, propagate with.
Well, I mean, he lives above his cages. The top part is him and his two bros, and then below are three angry old women rats. So, not exactly lovely young nubile acolytes, but he does have them.
This is kind of reminding me of the FLDS already.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyhow, so, the reason I think that this hit me so deeply and why it disturbs me so much is because it's really easy to say, why didn't they just leave? Why didn't they just leave? It's easy to victim blame when it comes to being in a cult. Just like it's easy to victim blame when somebody is in an abusive relationship. Sometimes it's not easy to leave. With that in mind, I feel like it's very important to define the word indoctrine or indoctrinate, because I get the feeling we're both probably going to be using that word quite a bit. And just in case, oh my god, the hedgehog's going.
I see, I don't know if I use indoctrinate a lot, but I do use the term shitbird and fuckface a lot in my my story.
The hedgehog has been removed. It has been placed elsewhere. Somebody I know listened to the show the other day, and they said, I'm very concerned about a certain hedgehog.
Yeah, if you want to mail us new hedgehogs, because he goes through them pretty fast.
He does. He really does.
You have a mute hedgehog? Or like a hedgehog that the squeak is so ultrasonic that the dog can hear it, but you, the listener, can't? That would be ideal.
Or anything for Necco as well, our shitty sound tech.
Or just send Kevin some snacks.
Because Kevin is the... Kevin is the leader of our cult.
Yes, Kevin. All praise Kevin's why we do all of this.
All praise Kevin.
Yes, all praise Kevin.
So, I do actually talk about indoctrination quite a bit. Indoctrinate means to teach a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically. The
synonym?
Yeah, and apparently to me, I can't say that word.
Silmarillion?
No, I can't say that word today. Apparently, that is cinnamon. So the cinnamons...
The cinnamon bun of all of this. The delicious cinnabun for this is...
Brainwash, propagandize, proselytize, re-educate, mold, condition, etc. So you get the idea behind what these people do to you. Now, some fun facts about cults. By the time you realize you were in a cult, it is often too late to extricate yourself easily. Fun fact, right? So you're just going along, holy shit, I might be in a cult. Wait a minute, where are my car keys? It's not that easy to just leave. There are thousands of cults in operation in the U.S. alone right now.
Plus Kevin, so we've just added a new one. The cult Kevinism. Of Kevin. Yeah.
So... Cults often start as self-help groups, fringe movements, or as offshoots of other established religions.
Now we have the former and the latter in the next two episodes.
Oh, yes, yeah. We do. Yes, we do. Now, you might be wondering, Regina, how do I avoid a cult? Well, as someone that the scariest fucking cult in the world, the Children of God, tried to recruit, like I said, as a very young teenager. I might have even been 12 at that time. I can tell you. When examining your faith, or any faith that comes a-knocking, ask a few simple questions. 1. Do they have one figurehead that communes with or claims to be a higher deity of any sort?
Like Ramtha, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Or aliens. Heaven's Gate. 2. Are there uniforms involved?
There are sashes. There are sashes in mine.
Sashes, see? So yeah, uniforms. That's part of it.
Uniform. Check one, check two. Mm-hmm. We got two for two so far.
Yep. Oh, do they have to wear specific colors? Are certain colors banned?
Yes.
See?
Yes, it's true.
See?
These are like evil Girl Scouts or evil pageant contestants in this case.
I love it. Number 3.
are you told to disengage with your loved ones?
You mean suppressives or Luciferians?
See? Don't think that anything or anyone in existence who tells you to disengage with the people who love you most is a good thing.
Yeah, they're not, they don't have your best interests at heart.
No. Number four, are you being told what you can do with your naughty bits?
I mean, that's kind of a lot of religions, so...
And or who you can do them with.
Yeah, that's also kind of a lot of... So just, you know, yeah, use your best judgment there, guys.
Examine some things is what I'm saying. Five, do you have control over your life? Now, you can really look
at
that... I
mean, no, but I'm not in a cult. I'm in a cult of one.
You can look at that in a lot of ways and just be like, who the fuck has control over their life? But seriously, do you have control over your life? Can you make simple decisions on your own?
What or is can somebody I eat? Else or a committee of somebody else the ones pulling those puppet strings?
Exactly. Which leads me into number six. Are you told what and when you can eat or to eat?
Oh, yeah, that happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, food restricting, caloric restriction and sleep restriction are two huge parts of brainwashing.
That was another thing I was about to mention. Are you told when you can sleep?
Holy shit, capitalism is brainwashing me. Son of a bitch. I'm in a cult. We're all in a cult.
And then two more on this list. Are children and women in particular being singled out for anything?
Oh, yes, they certainly are. And unfortunately, it's kind of the same thing, and it's a thing that you should not do to children ever, ever, ever.
No, which leads me to the very last point. Number nine, are people being hurt in the name of God?
Well, they're being hurt in the name of Vanguard, who thinks he's a god, but yes.
There you go.
I'm going to go with all of those things get checked off on the NXIVM Are You a Cult checklist.
See, and I'm saying if you answered yes to two or more of these questions in regards to your personal religion or even your relationship, you need to have coffee with someone who loves you outside of the situation and get some outside perspective. Very important. Remember, if you can cause harm to others in the name of God, shit like the Crusades and witch trials are possible. We don't want to go back there.
Nope.
No, we don't want to, because we're the two bitches that are going to get burned if we go back there. We particularly do not want to go back there. With that being said, if you're part of a certain mainstream religion that's been under fire lately for a lot of...
Diddling children?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the way I was looking to put that.
All of the things that we're talking about, all of these seem to have to do with diddling children, mm-hmm. which I am never going to understand.
Nope.
Just fucking no. Leave the kids alone.
Yeah.
If it's not safe, sane, and consensual, don't fucking do it.
Nope. But if you personally take offense to anything on that list because of what you believe, again... Maybe you should call your loved one and have some coffee. Just get some outside perspective there. And, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but diddling children is never right.
Nope.
So, yeah.
There's never a context where that's fine.
No. We aren't here to judge unless you're the children of God and you diddle children.
Yeah, if you're a child diddler, I am judging you.
Yeah, I'm judging you like a motherfucker.
I want to judge you with a baseball bat to your face.
Yep.
Is what I would like to do.
Yep. So... Real quick, the mindset of the victims in these cases are often very similar to the mindset of somebody who is in an abusive relationship. They don't think they have any way out, except it's even worse, because if they defy their messiah, cult leader, voice of God, then they are being damned. They are damning their eternal soul, often to hellfire, to the pits of hell, to eternal damnation of some terrible, roasty, fiery place that apparently child diddlers don't go, but you, who decides to wear red instead of the prairie dress that we told you that you could wear in a pastel color, are going straight to hell. So
fashion choices, pointy, roasty stick devil, kitty diddling... Totally fine.
Yes.
God loves you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't... Please unsubscribe me from that fucking newsletter.
Right? But I mean, once you're indoctrinated into it, sure. And that is your culture, because
yeah,
they
you believe.
Yes, they surround you, and that is your society. You have been cut off from everything else. That is what is the norm. So for us to go, that is so fucking bizarre and bananas. You also have to remember, they don't hit you all at once.
Nope.
It's a slow boil. It's like boiling a frog. It doesn't realize it's in boiling water if you just put it in the pot and then turn it on when it's in cold water. That's how they get you. They will do things like love bomb you. The tactics of these cults, they'll love bomb you. You first join and everybody wants to be around you. They're very welcoming. And slowly, slowly, they start pushing these boundaries. First, you have to give maybe a tithing. Then you have to give more and more until you're financially dependent on these cults. Then they want you to move out to their ranch or where the fuck ever.
It's compound.
No.
Communal living? Okay.
Yeah.
Compound? Anything that implies, like, locked gates?
Yeah, I don't like locked gates.
Makes me a bit nervous.
Yeah, same. Same. No locks
barbed
on the doors.
Barbed wire? Not so much. No.
No.
No. No.
Are you seeing the way I'm being looked at because I put that hedgehog up?
You are being judged. You are being damned to a fit of... You're being danged. You're danged to heck by this dog right now.
How dare I? How dare I take the hedgehog?
How do you like my lashes?
They're like drag queen level clappers. They're magical.
I flap like a butterfly.
If you like start like fluttering your lashes like during REM sleep, do you hover above the bed?
Slightly. It wakes me up though because I stop and then bam, right back on the bed.
Boom.
But hey, if you want luscious lashes like these and you're in the Seattle area, you know what? You can get them.
You can? You weren't born with it?
No. This is not natural. I know it looks that way, but that's because my lash girl is so good. I'm talking about Sophia Kessler over at Strictly Lashes. She's the owner. If you are in the Seattle area, and guys, I know there are a lot of you out there listening to us lately, which we love. So, Seattle, go see Sophia Kessler. You can find her on Instagram at Strictly Lash, or you can look her up at strictlylash.com and mention the promo code Disturbing and get 15% off. So call her. She's awesome.
Yes. Anyway, so they will love bomb you, and then they will bring you in slowly, and they will start pushing those boundaries a little bit at a time, until those boundaries are so fucking shot that they're beyond normal. They will use sleep deprivation to help push their agenda. Bottom line is, this isn't something that just happens overnight. By the time you realize, like I said, that you're in a cult, it's often too late to easily extricate yourself from the cult.
Yeah, you're already in the spider web. And another thing, they don't pick people who are having a great time in their lives.
No.
They tend to... It's like lions hunting. Lions don't go for the most robust antelope. They pick off members of the herd that are kind of straggling. So, like, especially in the case of Nexium, the people who were interested in it were often kind of struggling in their lives, trying to kind of get things together, and that's who they jumped on.
And they started off as a self-help program,
they
right?
They did, yeah. They were like, you know, your basic Tony Robbins success courses, but oh no, so wrong.
Well, tell us more about it.
Okay, so we need to talk about Nexium. But first, let me stress that we're not talking about the healing purple pill for heartburn. No, we're talking about the fucked up as all hell multi-level marketing self-help scheme that pretty quickly turned into a freaky sex cult to satisfy the misogynistic carnal desires of the fucking creeps at the top of this pyramid. It's sex Amway. Let me also stress that it's spelled in a bizarre way. If you try looking it up and you're like, all I'm getting is like heartburn remedies. But Nexium, the fucked up cult, is all caps NXIVM. Or if you were to pronounce it like it's spelled, you would scream NVXVMM, I think. But it's...
It sounds very German.
NVXVMM!
I mean, it could mean I love you in German, and it would still be fucking terrifying.
Even the name is fucking stupid. Like, this whole thing is stupid, and yet again, It just lured a bunch of people in. It's just this
stupid and horrible.
Prepare to be just goddamn exasperated and annoyed by all of what I'm about to tell you. Obviously, this entire show is a giant trigger warning, but I want to take just an extra minute right now at the outset to say that I do mention suicide. There are a couple of people who died by suicide involved in the story, and I know for a lot of people, just that can be really triggering, and if it is that way for you, maybe you want to skip this one.
Just a little add-in on my part, too. Anyone who is triggered over matters like suicide, child rape, sex trafficking, anything like that, these are not your episodes. This episode and our next episode are not your episodes. We love you. We are happy you listen, but we do not want to trigger you. And these subjects can be very triggering. So if my hands are in the prayer motion right now, I'm just like,
please. We want to gross you out and entertain you. We don't want to like genuinely traumatize you.
Yes. Yeah. So we just want to somewhat traumatize you.
We're here to help, not to hurt.
Exactly. Yes. Which is why we are not a cult.
Yes, we're here to poke this particular bear, I guess.
I had to point out that the dog has climbed up on a higher platform so he can stare.
He can judge you on high. You've ruined the dog's life. You took away the hedgehog.
And he can stare even more longingly at it from a closer vantage.
I'm like, dude, this is a show that requires some gravitas, and it squeaka squeaka during the middle of it it's a mood wrecker, buddy. Mood wrecker.
You have other toys.
Yeah, and you can tell we are definitely not NPR, PRI, the CBC. We are none of those things. They don't have a hedgehog. We're better. I also want to start out by saying, look, if you're into master and servant, story of BDSM, that kind of relationship, I am also not here to shame you or tell you that's wrong. Safe, sane, and consensual. Again, those are my three happy words here. Again, polyamory, group sex, having many partners. I don't care. You do you. And it's fine if everybody in the group is, one, an adult, and two, is somebody who is fully invested in and aware of the situation, not being coerced, tricked, lied to. They can opt out at any time. That is fine. That is not what I'm talking about. That's not why this guy and this cult is just a pack of fucking shitbirds.
Don't be a shitbird.
Don't be a shitbird. And this is about some shitbird shenanigans. Shitbird culty shenanigans.
Shitbird shenanigans. That's, how fast can you say that one?
Yeah, that is the technical term for this. Shitbird shenanigans.
Shitbird shenanigans. Can you say that five times fast?
Maybe.
Try it.
Shitbird shenanigans, shitbird shenanigans, shitbird shenanigans, shitbird shenanigans, shitbird shenanigans.
I'm so fucking impressed right now.
I have theater training.
Ah, yes, you can tell with your shitbird shenanigans.
I know Shakespeare. Yeah, and then I'm doing this. Great. Okay, so moving into this. There have been multiple news stories recently following this particular creepy pyramid scheme and the eventual arrests and indictments of its main movers and shakers and human fucking traffickers, as well as being a lot. There have been a number of podcasts and other news stories that are a lot more in depth than what we're going to go into here on Nexium. So I'm just going to kind of give you the basic facts in the case. I will absolutely suggest, if this is something that's interesting to you, that you check out the CBC's multi-episode podcast, Uncover Leaving Nexium, if you would like to know in much creepier and much better journalistically researched detail.
It's really good.
It's genuinely disturbing, but it's very well done. So Josh Block, who is the narrator of the podcast, along with a group of producers that put it together, he happened to be a childhood school friend of Sarah Edmondson, a Canadian actress who was highly involved in this cult and who ended up being one of the people that was interviewed for a New York Times expose of Nexium. But yeah, I would absolutely recommend Uncover Leaving Nexium. Block intersperses personal interviews with Edmondson and about how she got involved initially, then how slowly Nexium became like her passion, her career, in fact. And then what happened when she discovered what was really going down at the highest levels. But yeah, she did eventually leave and she was able to expose what had happened. And it's a really intense listen. It's much better than this show. If you really want to know what went on, go for that one. So Nexium, in a nutshell, purported to be a personal development company that offered executive success programs, or ESPs, and a whole range of self-improvement courses and seminars in that sort of kind of Tony Robbins, you know, kind of vein. Not that Tony Robbins is a cult leader. I mean, I don't know, maybe he is, but I don't think he is. But in that sort of seminars to help you learn to master your fears, to just become a better person, to get what you want out of life, things like that that are not bad. This isn't a bad thing.
What scares me about Nexium is that's the kind of shit that I would go to professionally, too.
Oh, yeah. And many people did at this lower introductory level. And again, to go back to your analogy of this being like an abusive relationship, you know, that's never how it starts off. On the first date over your spaghetti carbonara, it's not like, pow, fist to the face. It's, you gotta lure in your prey. You gotta target people that are struggling in their lives or who have some, you know, weak spots that you can kind of slither in and embed yourself. And I'm in no way blaming any of the people that got sucked into this.
No.
No, I'm reserving my go fuck yourself for Keith Rainier, who is the head of this.
Is it Rainier? I thought it was Rainier.
Rainieri, that's it. Rainieri. I keep Mount Rainier. I live near Mount Rainier, so everything is Rainier. It's Rainieri. He's the guy that I really just want to fist to the face in this one. The shitbird. Let's talk about the shitbird behind all of this. Who is a charming gentleman from New York State. Yeah, boy. So Keith Rainieri, he's kind of creepy looking. Like, he looks like that smarmy dude that you meet at a gaming convention. You know?
Does he have the crazy eye?
He's a little bit of crazy. He just has smarmy eye. Like, you just look at him and smarm kind of radiates out of your monitor, right? He's smarmy. And he didn't start out life a swell guy and slowly evolve into a dick bird. No, he was, even as a child, was a manipulative little snake. So in 2018, now again, take this with a grain of salt. The Epoch Times published an interview with five of Rainieri's former grammar school and high school classmates, just to get a little background. And again, this is what they report, so who knows? So one student recalled an incident in which she had kind of unwittingly shared compromising information about one of her sisters in front of like a 10-year-old Rainieri. And according to this woman's interview and her recollection, Rainieri told her, "You know, it's like I have this little bottle of poison I can hold over your head. I just don't think your parents or your sister would be very happy if I told them what you said." She claims Rainieri would then sometimes call her or talk to her and remind her by saying, "Little bottles, little bottles."
What the fuck?
Right? Like, I don't think I was that devious, like, at 20. So, in further creepy parallels to another culty type of cult that we will just call Scientology, because those fuckers have a lot of lawyers.
And Sue.
Yes, Scientology. He got really into science fiction stories as a teen, and he credits Isaac Asimov's Second Foundation novel as the basis for a lot of the ideas that he had behind Nexium. So Rainieri also got really into actual Amway. For those that are younger and don't necessarily know about that, it's a multi-level marketing company that in the 1980s, everybody's cousin or hairdresser or obnoxious coworker was super into in the 80s, trying to sell you like cleaning products and shit, but it was really a pyramid scheme, okay?
Not the train company.
No. And this basically gave him a real framework for learning how to run an essentially a pyramid scheme. And because Nexium was not his first rodeo, he had to practice somewhere, he got his start founding a company called Consumers Byline in 1990. And that was a banner year for this fucking shitbird, because at the same time, he also began a sexual relationship with the daughter of one of his Consumer Byline employees, which, okay, that's not so creepy, and maybe it's a little conflict of interest-y. No, the problem that comes up with that makes it yucky, is that the daughter in question is 12 fucking years old.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that is rape. That's not a sexual relationship. If you're 12, that's called rape.
No!
Yeah. And you know what? As far as I can tell, if a clean-cut middle-class white guy commits rape in America, that's totally legal. Even though the girl went to the police, 3 years later, nothing fucking came of this investigation.
Let me guess, statute of limitations had run out.
Probably, and also probably, I don't know, she looked crazy, we didn't believe her.
Don't come up here asking me for that hedgehog, sir. You're adorable, but you're not getting it.
So, just to make things grosser, this wasn't the first time Ranieri had an underage girlfriend. I'm going to put those in big fucking air quotes.
You should see the quotes.
Yeah. Oh, no. In 1984, he became sexually involved with not one, but two fucking 15-year-old girls when he was 24.
This guy's just a fucking pedophile.
He's a pedophilic shitbird. That's what he is. I mean, let me just take a moment to say fuck this guy sideways with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. Just let's fucking go Nagan on this guy's fucking ass. Fuck this guy. So in 1993, Consumers Byline was shut down when 20 different states opened investigations into it as a pyramid scheme, which, of course, is illegal.
Why didn't, you know, the states open investigation on him for being a fucking pedophile?
That's a good question. So, undaunted, because you can't keep a dedicated shitbird con man down, Ranieri started a failed vitamin multi-level marketing scheme. Which,
boy, there are a lot of those out there right now.
Right? Just stick with, like, Flintstones gummies and you're fine.
Like, I had friends that are involved in those, like, crazy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's popular. But that didn't work out so well for him, and that ultimately closed down in 1999. But then, Ranieri met a nurse and hypnotism and neurolinguistic programming practitioner named Nancy Salzman. But what this gal brings to the table, of course, is a good knowledge of psychology. And in and of itself, that's a great thing to have. But it's also very dangerous if you're somebody that wants to, say, manipulate people.
If you're a shitbird. Or brainwash them.
So that's the negative side of knowing about the human psyche. This field is a place that really attracts people who like to manipulate and control other people. Not everyone, not most everyone. Most people go into, you know,
psychology
and therapy to be helpful. But again, anything can be turned to the dark side. And that is kind of what happened here. So this woman, Nancy Salzman, and Keith Ranieri come together and found yet a new MLM, Executive Success Programs, which would ultimately then be rebranded into Nexium. At this time, Ranieri also adopted the title of Vanguard, which, and this is the part where I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? He took this title Vanguard from a fucking arcade game from the 1980s that he'd loved as a child. So that's like, hey, call me Pac-Man. You know, like, seriously? I am the great Pong.
Call me Alucard.
Right? There what? You go. Yeah. And then he named his partner in crime, Nancy Salzman, Prefect, because she was the first student of Vanguard. So let's just looking at that right now, men are on top, women learn from them. That's where we're at in this guy's psyche.
Explain my face right now.
Yeah, it's a fuck you fucking fucks face right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're heading to fuck you fucking fucks time. Oh, it even gets better. Did I mention yet that Ranieri also used the writing of everyone's favorite objectivist shitbird, Ayn Rand, as the basis for much of his Nexium teachings? Anything that begins with Ayn Rand, just opt the fuck out. Yeah, I'm surprised Paul Ryan wasn't in on this shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is bad. This is just a whole melange, delicious melting pot of the marketplace of terrible ideas just coming together in one smarmy asshole Jesus Christ white people setting.
I'm gonna have to shower after this episode. I already feel dirty.
So the Ranieri and Salzman really kind of hit the big time in 2002 when they landed some whales. They recruited sisters Sarah and Claire Bronfman, and then later their father, Edgar Bronfman Sr., who are the heirs to the billion-dollar Seagram's beverage fortune, and who would basically bankroll this insanity and allow it to grow and spread like a nasty cancer. So Edgar Bronfman later renounced the group within the first year of being in there and spent the last decade of his life estranged from his daughters and trying to pull them out of this cult to no avail. He died in 2013, so that's pretty sad.
At least he got out, though.
Oh, and speaking of people who died, these are people who died. Here comes the really sad and horrible part. At least two women connected to Ranieri both died by suicide.
Yeah. Because that's not a red flag anyone.
Red flag. This is like a Matador's cape right here. So Gina Hutchinson, one of the 15-year-old girls that Creepy Keith was having sex with in the 80s, died by gunshot in 2002, which was ruled a suicide.
And so, you know what? That's probably because she was being raped when she was 15.
Oh, wait till you hear this. Fucking crazy fuckface Keith told this young woman that she was a reincarnated Buddhist goddess and convinced her to drop out of high school and come work for him at Consumers Byline. Because apparently that's what Buddhist goddesses do now in the 80s. I don't know. They need jobs and shit. What a fuckbag. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, it gets worse. And then there was Kristen Snyder. So Kristen Marie Snyder was a 35-year-old environmental consultant who in November of 2002 paid $7,000 to enroll in a 16-day personal development course conducted in Anchorage, Alaska by Nancy Salzman, a good old prefect. So the following January...
Harry Potter's where I know that word from.
Yes. No.
Sorry.
Like, being a prefect prefect is not a bad thing. This prefect is a fucked up prefect.
I was thinking, why is prefect good? And now I know. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
So that following January, a couple months later, in 2003, Kristen Snyder then traveled to visit Ranieri and the other leaders of NXIVM in New York. Family members, this is creepy, report that upon her return from New York, Kristen was sleep-deprived. And she's quoted as saying, "Vanguard doesn't sleep, so I don't need to sleep."
Oh, no.
Okay? Kristen's mother, Johnny, recalled that she thought Keith was incredible and that, quote, this is the part I'm like, the fuck? She had come to believe that she was responsible for the Columbia shuttle disaster.
What the fuck?
Correct. So, I mean, again, I don't know if she had a history of mental health instability or, you know, paranoia, anything like that, but whatever was going on with this cult was certainly not helping. And then Kristen Snyder, accompanied by her partner Heidi Clifford, signed up for a second 16-day session, again at the cost of $7,000. And these sessions were held at the Westmark Hotel in Anchorage. Clifford, her partner, reports that on the 10th day of this course, Kristen began making suicide threats. Clifford recalled, "I was told by a NXIVM instructor not to bring her to the hospital. That's what makes me feel really bad."
That's not okay.
All of this is just classic cult control behavior. On February 6th, 2003, Kristen Snyder was last seen leaving the NXIVM seminar. On February 8th, 2 days later, police recovered a note that read, quote, "I attended a course called Executive Success Programs based out of Anchorage, Alaska and Albany, New York. I was brainwashed and my emotional center of the brain was killed and turned off. I still have feeling in my external skin, but my internal organs are rotting. I am sorry, life. I didn't know I was already dead. May we persist into the future." A second page was found that said, "No need to search for my body."
What the fuck?
She was never... There's no trace of her. No.
Oh my God.
And a witness at Ranieri's trial this past month testified that after Kristen Snyder disappeared, Ranieri paid $24,000 to obtain the password to her email account.
What the fuck?
Yep. So...
that's some shady shit.
You think? Yep.
And how do we even know that she actually killed herself?
We don't. Oh, yeah. It's fucked up. It's super duper fucking fucked up. But wait, it gets worse. But wait, there's more!
Oh, joy. It's just
the Let's unending, find out what's behind door number three!
The ever-giving box of fuckery.
Yes. So this real good guy, this fucking Keith fella. Yeah. He defrauded so many women and that he would get involved in with of their life savings, and just, he was awful. So he would take total control of the lives of the women who got really into this cult. In March 2010, Ranieri learned that one of the Inner Circle members, a woman that they just name as Daniela, had kissed another man. Again, this is part of your checklist of this cult tells you who you can have relationships, what you can do with your parts.
Naughty bits.
Naughty bits. Well, she, you were only allowed to think about him. And she was interested in and just kissed another man.
You know, like normal people do.
Like adults are allowed to fucking do.
Man, woman, whatever you want, yeah. As long as they are another consenting adult.
Yes. So according to witness testimony, upon discovering this, Ranieri locked himself in a bathroom and had like a shit fit meltdown. And then afterwards, he ordered that Daniela be confined to her room for over 2 years.
Oh, she's the one who was imprisoned.
Correct.
Oh,
so she is one of the people that was integral to a lot of the charges that were brought against Fuckface McGee later on.
Now, I thought that he got her from another country, too.
Yes, like, she's Mexico.
In from, okay, yeah. He brought her in from Mexico.
Yes, because he has a lot of connections to Mexico. He fled to Mexico and then, I believe, was extradited from Mexico. So in November 2010, before all of this stuff came out, Vanity Fair published an article called The Heiresses and the Cult. And in that article, his former partner, a woman named Toni Natalie, tells a story that Ranieri had, quote, insisted she keep the body of her dead puppy in her garage freezer and look at it daily. There's another episode in the podcast, Uncover, Escaping Nexium, that tells this story of another member of the Nexium cult who essentially submitted to this experiment that in fear that, you know, the movie A Clockwork Orange where they strapped the protagonist down and forced,
yeah,
that episode's very upsetting. So basically forcing people to look at things that were very upsetting or disturbing was part of this making yourself better.
Which is where the dead puppy comes into play.
Yeah. And in that same month, the New York Post reported on the existence of a video in which Ranieri is heard telling two followers, I've had people killed because of my beliefs or because of their beliefs. And other coaches then in the same article characterized the students that Ranieri would bring in as prey for him to either drain of money because he had a huge gambling problem or to use for his little sex games. So real charming, and people knew what was going on. They did.
What the fuck?
Right? So, again, as with individual abusive relationship, this stuff doesn't start with a fist to the face or a laser cauterizing pen to the groin. We'll get to that shortly. No, it doesn't. The initial seminars, they were fairly tame on the surface and purported to help the attendees master their own personal and professional development issues, right? Not so scary. Not so bad.
No.
And so Nexium's methods and manuals were a trade secret that were subject to non-disclosure agreements that everybody involved in this would sign. So you couldn't actually talk about it. So again, that's a big part of the whole thing.
But when you're dealing with business and copyright infringement,
sure,
that too, pretty
that's not
standard,
exactly.
Not a huge red flag
again,
there.
Yeah, you wouldn't be ding, ding, ding. You'd be like, oh, okay, sure,
yeah.
this seems normal.
I can't tell you how many NDAs I've had to sign.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know, again, lure them in, get them hooked, fuck them over. That's kind of how it went. But their trade secret, non-disclosure agreemented covered manuals were really into a technique that they called rational inquiry that was a brainwashing technique that you would ask your participants to do it. And anytime the participants felt like they were really uncomfortable with what was going on or that they didn't want to participate, it would be turned around on them. And it would be said, well, you're just responding to negative programming. And you have to overcome this thing that you're resisting.
That's what cults always do.
Yep. It's good that you're feeling this negativity. It's good that you're feeling this
pushback.
And you just have to power through it and eat that bowl of vomit. Yeah, you just got to do that. And they would essentially learn to doubt their own instincts in favor of doing what the group wanted from them. And then again, going back to those points at the beginning, people on the outside who were not cult members who were like,
maybe not a good idea.
Yeah, so anybody that objected to anything that the cult was asking its adherents to do or who voiced these objections, they were called suppressives or, and this is my favorite, Luciferians.
I do like Luciferians.
I want to use that. So that's the one takeaway. Fuck you, shitbird Ranieri. I'm stealing Luciferians.
Luciferians, yeah. I like that one.
People who don't buy shit at my shop and just, like, make a mess, Luciferians. Suppressives.
Mm-hmm. From our next episode, what I took away from it was staying sweet.
Staying sweet?
Yeah, I'll get into it in our next episode. But yeah, there are takeaways here where it's just like, I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
Luciferians.
Luciferians, totally. And you were urged to cut ties with these suppressives, these Luciferians. And anybody that, again, voiced any kind of, maybe don't, boom, cut them out. And then there was the collateral.
Oh, the collateral.
Oh, there's always going to be some collateral. So NXIVM members, the women specifically, were encouraged to give damaging or embarrassing personal secret information, including nude photos of themselves posed in very specific ways that Keith Ranieri would request, where you could see both the face of the person and them spreading their vulva so you could see the labia minora. Like, I guess that was what he got off on. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I recognize that vulva.
All I know is that it seems to me that there are an awful lot of cults out there that are very patriarchally driven.
Hey, the Lord says send nudes. Pretty much. Send nudes, saith the Lord. I believe that somewhere in, I don't know, Latvians 12. I don't know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that was the big thing. Like, for instance, the gal that is interviewed in Leaving NXIVM.
Sarah.
She wrote these confessions that her father molested her as a child.
Her husband, yes.
And these were not true. They had not done that to her. But she wrote all of these damaging things
because
coercion, basically.
And they said when she handed over the materials originally, because she had to hand over her collateral, it wasn't good enough. They needed more. And so she fabricated these lies in these letters until they had enough collateral on her that was good enough.
And again, that was supposed to be done to help you get over your inhibitions and also prove how dedicated you were to your success.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and again, it's an escalation thing. Initially, you would be, for instance, it would be something like, hey, you have to pay the cult or give to charity $20 if you don't go to the gym this week like you said you would. It started out with little things like that and built up to, my dad was a kid diddler.
Yep.
Yeah. A gentle escalation up Mount Bullshit. And again, the total control that was expected from the Inner Circle members. DOS, which is a special sorority in the group, which we'll talk a little bit about later.
Also known as DOS.
DOS, yes. Or roped in as Creepy Keith's personal stable of sex slaves.
Creepy Keith.
So when you joined this sorority, this special group, you had to be in a state of readiness at all times to respond to texts or calls from Ranieri or his close female companions, his associates. So you couldn't turn your phone off, and you had to respond to texts or calls that came in often in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m., and you had to do it within minutes of receiving them. So again,
sleep
deprivation.
It was like 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was some, you know, you had to do it within a certain very short window of time.
It was 5 or 10 minutes. I can't remember which one, but yes.
They were drills, essentially. Yes. Readiness drills.
And it was a master-slave relationship as well.
But again, it's never promoted as that. It's like, you have to be ready. Ready for what? I don't want to know. What cult would be worth its salt in controlling its members without restricting food and sleep? Because Creepy Keith liked him young and skinny, so some of these DOS members report being kept on 500-calorie-a-day diets at the request of fuckface Ranieri himself.
And that's where I dip out of the cult. If he was like, you have to be on a 500-calorie-a-day diet, I would be like, excuse me, sir, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, so, you know, full disclosure, I was really good at being an anorexic for a number of years. Like, I have lived on that diet because my brain is a crazy place, and you are fucking nuts. Like, I will assure you that you are a crazy motherfucking person if you are living on that low an intake of food. Your body is eating itself.
My sister, the Hulk, she was an anorexic. She struggled with anorexia and bulimia for years. And I saw that growing up, all the way up until adulthood. When we lost our father, that was when she actually was able to recover. It took a big life-altering change. So anyone who has struggled with that, first off, if you're out there and you need help, get help. Please get help. It's not a shaming thing. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. You shouldn't feel ashamed of it. You are beautiful. Whether you're 90 pounds or 400 pounds, it's more about what's inside. You are beautiful. And I'm looking directly at you when I'm saying this.
Oh, now, see, I gotta make it weird. You gotta fucking make it weird, Ross Camp. What the fuck? It wasn't about the way I looked. I had a fear of food.
Oh, you had fear of food.
Yeah, I thought food was going to kill me. I was going to choke to death. Like,
okay.
I was nuts in a whole different way. I was difficult to treat anorexic because the usual protocols for eating disorders didn't apply to me. So cognitive behavioral therapy and just a lot of time is what helped me a lot with mine. But I had to make it weird.
Well done, man. Just ratchet up to that next level. The Hulk, she... For her, it's more of a control thing, which is the way it is for a lot of anorexic. Yeah.
I was just sure that food was poison.
Well done. I knew somebody who was convinced that mushrooms were actually alive and they were going to eat you from the inside out.
I mean, they are alive, but that second part is not true.
Yes, but like they have little razor teeth. Blade teeth.
They do not. Food that's is just, not poisonous. No. I mean, some is.
Some. But
yeah. Anyway, that's why I love the creepy, gross food episodes.
I love it.
Part of my own personal poke the bear therapy.
Hey, you know what? Way to go on getting past that. That is a hell of a journey to go through.
No, I eat food pretty well now. I mean, I have relapses for various reasons, but I know that they're happening, and I manage it real well. But back to creepy Keith and his little cult. So Keith wasn't alone. Oh, he's never alone.
They're never alone.
No, they always have a bud. In his creepy, sneaky sexual manipulations, he found his ideal partner in the person of Allison Mack, a Canadian actress. He seems to like Canadian actresses, who achieved her greatest on-screen fame in the TV series Smallville. And she was actually recruited by another Smallville actress, Christian Kreuk, who subsequently left Nexium, didn't get that deep into it.
However, Allison Mack really gave up her career for Nexium.
She got in balls deep, ovaries deep, if you will. How deep? Quit her job, actually married a woman, an American woman, so that she could get some citizenship in the United States. And here's where it really gets, oh dear God, deep enough that it was her and Ranieri's intertwined initials that were branded as a symbol onto the pelvic areas of DOS members in a secret ceremony. This is the piece that everybody goes, oh yeah, that cult. Yeah, because that's a thing that absolutely happened. According to Sarah Edmondson, the Canadian actress who helped break the story to the New York Times, DOS members were held down by fellow sorority members, and then a physician who was part of DOS used a cauterizing pen to draw the initial symbol onto the bikini area of the initiate.
I'm sorry, but anything that wants to brand me like a motherfucking cow, I am a steer head, can go and fuck themselves.
I'm not even thrilled that people do that to cows. Like, maybe don't burn things into anybody's flesh.
I totally agree with that thought process. I really do.
Could we not? Little shirts, team shirts?
Maybe? I understand cattle wrestling, and there's a reason for marking your cattle, but can we just, like, dye them? Can we dye cows?
Yeah.
I will volunteer my extra time to go out there and dye a cow with some fucking manic panic to avoid branding shit.
This is bad. Yeah. And here's where it gets... I don't know if you can make this gross. This is like the icing on the crap cake here. The brandee, the person who is having this thing cauterized onto their fucking flesh, was told that this was a symbol for the four elements that symbolized their commitment and mastery over blah, 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 blah. Nope. It's a rancher's cattle brand for A.M., Allison Mack, and Keith Raniere, K.R. And Edmondson, again, had no idea that that's what this was about, so she says. And,
oh, listening to her talk about it, I don't think she would have ever had somebody's initials branded on her. Yeah. She didn't even believe in getting tattooed.
Right? And once it became clear to her, once a friend was like, dude, that's not the four elements or some shit. Those are letters. That's Keith's letters.
I think that's when she...
That is what broke her. And she was like, oh, fuck this shit. And she also did not have a sexual relationship with Keith Raniere throughout all of this. This is just part of being groomed toward that.
However, listening to her talk about some of the things that he would invite her to do, I truly think he was trying to loop her into that little...
Oh, he was grooming her.
Yeah, he definitely
was. This fuckface was grooming her. And luckily, she broke away, took her husband and their kid and got the fuck out, and then spilled these beans to the New York Times. So, good for her.
Well done, well done. Anyone who can make it out of a fucking cult, good for you. You are a fucking survivor. Good for you.
Yes. So, this is just a quick little rundown. This is all shit you can just look up on literal Wikipedia. Just like this is the blistical of some of the weird fucked up beliefs and practices of Nexium. Just as a little, what the fuck?
You know, I love a good listicle.
Are we ready? Let's do this. So, you talked about special uniforms and outfits. In Nexium, different classes and ranks within the organization, like how much Nexiuming you had taken on.
How much Nexiuming?
Yes. Well, that was signified by colored sashes, like with martial arts belts, like taekwondo and karate belts. But these were colored sashes like evil, fucked up beauty pageant winners.
Of course.
Miss Congeniality.
I love this so much.
Miss Cult Geniality.
I am here for the sash.
Yeah, I just joined the cult because I wanted the outfit. Yeah. So Nexium also had a 12-point mission statement that would be recited by their participants, where they would pledge to purge themselves of, quote, all parasite and envy-based habits, to enroll other people in these courses, so bring them in, and to ethically control as much of the money, wealth, and resources of the world as possible within my success plan. Try to take over the world!
Ethically.
I guess.
Ethically.
And, again, what is this Maoist China? Photographs of Vanguard and Prefect were displayed during the classes, and the classes concluded with participants showing gratitude to the two.
Exactly how did they show gratitude?
I'm not sure. But, okay. You know, like, thank you, dear leader, for being awesome.
Do they bow down? Do they give head?
How far does this go? All I know is showing gratitude.
The higher up you go,
the picture.
Do you have to show more gratitude?
I don't know.
I have questions.
So Nexium, as we alluded to earlier, conducted intensives, which were classes that ran 12 hours a day for 16 days, heavy brainwashing time. They would cost $7,000, $8,000 for these seminars.
So you're literally paying $7,000 to go in and work and be brainwashed for 12 hours a day for 16 days straight.
It's a fabulous scam, isn't it? This is great. Classes were divided into modules. In one module, relationship sourcing, students were instructed to explore the benefits they would receive in the event of a partner's sudden death.
What the fuck?
Yeah! So there you go.
That's some, H.H. Holmes shit right there.
Another module, Dracula and His Ghouls, reportedly discussed psychopaths and their followers. Other module titles included Best People, Perfect World, and The Heroic Struggle.
Can we talk about Dracula and His Ghouls for a second?
I want to get my hands on one of these password-protected copyright seminar books, because this sounds hilarious.
This sounds like some shit I just want to read.
This sounds banana boats.
Wow.
Other ways that you would get people to tell you things. There was a practice called Exploration of Meaning that involved a senior member questioning a junior member as they delved into their childhood memories. So
reprogramming.
Correct. And again, they taught that people were called suppressives that tried to impede progress within Nexium. People who turned against Raniere were said to have undergone the fall and were labeled, in the words of a former member, as Luciferians. Lost people for whom bad feels good and good feels bad.
I gotta say, always question your beliefs. Always sit back and go, is this
guy God?
Yeah.
No.
Is this right? And don't cut off other people because they have different beliefs or they question your beliefs.
Yeah, just don't join a cult, you guys.
No
cult. I don't
want
to have to talk about you on a future episode. This is awful.
Yes.
Legit. It gets dumber. Nexium members organized Vanguard Week, which is an annual week-long celebration of Ranieri's birthday, like, in Albany. Who the fuck goes to Albany for any reason, let alone a week-long, we love you, Vanguard Week? That sounds terrible. Worst vacation ever. So, now we'll get down to the meat of it. Nexium had, within it, different ranks and levels. Like, the Girl Scouts have, like, the Brownies and, the, you know, all these kind of troops. So they're related organizations, and they were split by gender.
Of course.
Janus was a society aimed at women, and the Society of Protectors was the dude group.
Oh, fuck yourselves.
Right? A third group, which we've alluded to earlier, was the acronym DOS, or DOS, which stood for, are you ready? Are y'all sitting down for this shit? Dominus Obsequius Sororum.
Oh, God.
Which is a Latin phrase that sort of translates poorly into master over slave women. The fuck? Are you Pauline Rayage? Get the fuck out of here, you asshole. Yeah, pretty much.
God.
And wait, it gets dumber and weirder.
How can it get dumber? It's the
shit gift that just keeps on giving, like herpes. Some members of Nexium's inner circle were reportedly taught that they had past lives, which, okay, sure, all right. But
I could see you're never doing
like,
that. No,
you're
I
never
could
like
see
a janitor in a past life. Oh, no. They were all high-ranking, sit down for this one, Nazis. Yeah, it always ends up with Nazis. Always.
Which I have a hard time with. So I have a really hard time with this piece. Like, first off, you're in a cult. You're indoctrined. You are balls deep into this belief. But then somebody tells you, oh, in your past life,
you're
the
totally
reason
Nazi.
We are so gravitated towards each other is because I was a high-ranking Nazi, and you too were also
a
high-ranking
it
Nazi.
It gets weirder. So fuckface Creepy Keith told Barbara Boucher, who is one of the first ladies that he conned into this shit, that she was the reincarnation of Holocaust architect Reinhard Heydrich, and then Nancy Salzman, our little prefect puppy, was actually the reincarnation of Hitler himself. Hitler himself. But Ranieri, he wasn't a Nazi in a past life. He was a leader of the anti-Nazi partisans. So women, Nazis. Keith, against Nazis.
Okay, I have questions.
I have no answers.
First off,
none.
Why are they all from the same time frame?
Because Nazis.
And why must they all have something to do with Nazis? I can see him
because
doing
Nazis!
This.
Nazis!
I can see him doing this
Nazis,
simply
Nazis, Nazis.
Basing the idea off of what he did to that one 15-year-old who ended up killing herself by telling her that she was a Buddhist.
She wasn't a Nazi. She's
no.
a Buddhist goddess.
Goddess.
Namaste, bitches.
But, you know, he tested that theory out there. Like, let's see how well this practice goes. You're a Buddhist goddess. Oh, she really ate that shit up. Okay.
Let's switch to Nazis.
What's big now?
Nazis. Everyone loves a Nazi.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I have no answers because this is crazy.
I have said oh my God so many times in this episode. I can't remember the last time I said oh my God this much. Like, what? Sweet Jesus, people, don't be a fucking Nazi.
So I also alluded to another member, and there's a whole episode on this in the CBC podcast about it.
I swear I thought you were going to say CBGBs.
No, there's no punks involved.
Keep
the Ramones the fuck out of
this. God!
That's the good part of New York. The rest of it, it's like, Jesus Christ.
My people are not involved with this bullshit.
No, we're good. So, there's a whole episode on this, but according to a complaint filed by a former Nexium member, a medical doctor performed an experiment on her that involved recording her EEG responses while viewing footage of people being actually straight-up snuff film murdered. Brandon P. Porter, the doctor, faced 24 professional conduct charges from the Board for Professional Medical Conduct, including moral unfitness to practice medicine. You're damn fucking right. Yeah, that's a disturb. All of this is just disturbing.
I can't finally, even handle
on
that
a happy
idea.
Note, let's end with. I'm not ending the whole thing, but I'm going to end this list of bullshit that Nexium's been involved in. In 2006, Ranieri, thinking of the children, founded the Rainbow Cultural Garden, which was an international chain of child care organizations in which children were to be exposed to 7 different languages and possibly his penis. I have just made that last part up, but okay. I assumed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's not go to the Rainbow Cultural Garden. Like, just fucking get Duolingo on your kid's iPad. Don't send them to a cult. Jesus fucking Christ. I will now wrap this up with a slight silver lining. We're going to end on a positive, y'all, because this has been truly, madly, deeply horrible. But here's the happy ending. So, on January 18th, 2018, a search warrant was issued for Ranieri's email account. On February 14th, the world got a Valentine when an agent of the FBI filed a criminal complaint against Shitbird McGee with the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York. So, do something right. Good job. Good job, New York. Thanks for at least being like, no, can't let this keep happening. Can't be besmirching the name of Albany anymore.
Albany's had enough.
It's smirched enough. There's so much smirch.
Leave Albany alone.
Leave it alone, damn it. Leave Brittany alone! So, in March of 2018... Ranieri was arrested by Mexican authorities in a luxury villa outside Puerto Vallarta in Mexico. Lauren Salzman...
Side note, Puerto Vallarta is absolutely lovely.
Oh, yeah, this is not Puerto Vallarta's fault. This isn't even Albany's fault. Like, nope. Don't get mad at these towns. They didn't do it. So Lauren Salzman, his prefect, recalled that the arrest in Mexico interfered with... And this is where I'm like... Fucking kidding me. A planned group sex session. I hate it when that happened. I hate it when the feds bust down my door when I'm about to get it on with me and about 25 of my closest personal branded slave friends.
You know what?
Damn.
If it is a planned group sex session that is totally consensual not brainwashed and not branded.
Oh no, this gets dumber. This gets sadder and dumber. When the police arrived,
Salzman, you really enjoyed this one. God, I can't wait.
This gives me such joy. This is such schadenfreude. When the police came, Salzman and Ranieri barricaded themselves in the master suite, and Ranieri attempted to hide in the walk-in closet because cops can't open doors. I don't know. Oh, he's got a slide on it. I can't open it. Yeah, I don't. Jesus, what a manly, tough man this guy is. What a dick.
What did he do? Hide behind the coat?
I guess.
They won't see my legs.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, no, I'm really a coat. Yeah, no. So Ranieri was indicted on a variety of charges related to this DOS group, which included sex trafficking conspiracy, and conspiracy to commit forced labor. The indictment alleged that at least one woman was coerced into sex with Ranieri, who forced DOS members to undergo the branding ritual that Edmondson described, and United States Attorney Richard Donahue stated that Ranieri, quote, created a secret society of women with whom he had sex and branded with his initials, coercing them with the threat of releasing their highly personal information and taking their assets. So basically blackmailed them into being his sex slaves. Ranieri's federal trial began on May 7th, 2019. Prosecution witnesses included Lauren Salzman, Nexium filmmaker Mark Vicente, and then victims Sylvia, Daniela, they're all gone by pseudonyms, Daniela being the woman that was imprisoned for 2 fucking years for kissing a dude that wasn't Ranieri. And
I feel so bad for this woman.
I mean, so bad for all of these people.
Yes,
God.
But she was imprisoned for 2 years.
House arrest because
brought over
control.
Illegally,
yep.
I think, from Mexico.
Yep. That's where the trafficking came.
Yeah.
Yep. Another woman named Nicole, and then another person that was really instrumental was a guy who's like a cult educator. Not that he teaches people to be cults, but he basically helps people get out of cults. He studies cults.
Re-educator.
And his name is Rick Allen Ross. And he actually got a hold of all this proprietary material and early on said, oh my God, this is expensive brainwashing. And the defense actually rested without calling any witnesses. On June 19th, just mere weeks ago, 2019, in the year of our Lord, 2019, Keith Raniere was found guilty on all charges by a jury after just 5 hours of deliberation. Bye-bye, shitbird, you're going to jail.
How long was the sentence for, life?
I don't know if he's been sentenced or not yet, but that was, because that's all, he's been found guilty, but I don't know what the actual sentencing is yet.
I'm so happy about that. I actually sent you when it popped up feed. It was just, yes!
And a number of other higher-ups like Allison Mack and some of the other Inner Circle are still ongoing trials and prosecutions.
She pled guilty.
She did, yeah. Yes, so she pled guilty. That's not, you know, we don't know what her sentencing, et cetera, is, mm-hmm. but still going through the whole court of law. And so it won't just be Raniere, but it'll be a lot of the other people that ruined lives, essentially.
Yeah. It's horrible, terrible crimes that they committed under the control of somebody else. However, they did commit them.
Still have free
knowingly,
will.
Yeah. Still have free will. As much as that was stripped from them, they still had the right to say no, even though sometimes they may not have felt that they did.
Yeah.
Or believe that they
did. So it's complicated, but at least in this particular case, it feels like justice is being served.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, thank you for listening. And
don't join a cult. Just keep going over those, 12 different ways that you know you're in a cult. Memorize them, print them out, put them up somewhere in a room. So when you start joining an organization, just go down and be like, nope, 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 nope. Okay, we're good.
And remember, you might be disturbed,
but you're not in a cult. Yet.
Thanks for listening, folks. Please remember to hit like, subscribe, and review. If you would like to send us an email, whether it is a picture of a wizard van or not, then you can do so at disturbinginterest@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at The Disturbing Interest Podcast, on Twitter at podcast_DI, or Instagram at DI Podcast. Find us on our website at disturbinginterest.com, or you can send us creepy stuff at P.O. Box 70515, Seattle, Washington, 98127. Stay disturbed, friends. We'll talk at you soon.